Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Well, as always, it's always an honor and privilege to have the opportunity to speak in our main services, and I will forever be grateful to Pastor Allen and Miss Joy. They are a beautiful couple, beautiful family, and I count it an honor for them to be my pastors, and I'm very thankful for them. Amen? Amen. Well, in a couple of weeks, my wife and I will celebrate 30 years of marriage. Yeah, I mean, can you believe I've put up with her for that long? if you know her, that's probably the other way around. But I went to her and I said, hey, you know it's 30 years. I mean, it's special. I mean, I think it's time for us to just celebrate. So think about it, pray about it. Let's plan a trip. You can go wherever you want to, and just let me know what you come up with. And so I'm sitting over here, for a couple of days thinking, oh, she's going to choose a different place on the West Coast. No, well, maybe we'll go. We've always talked about going up north on the East Coast. And then I thought, well, maybe this might be the opportunity where we leave and go overseas for the first time. So I'm having all this fun dreaming and getting excited about it. And I remember she came back to me and she looked at me and she goes, I know exactly where I want to go. And I said, where? She goes, I want to go back to where it all started. And I'm like, Disney World? And she goes, Disney World. So it got me thinking, and I remember the first time we took our children to Disney World. They were all little and young, and I wanted to get them excited. I wanted them to understand what was about to happen in their lives. And so I ordered a DVD. It's back when DVDs were the thing. And I remember giving them some little snacks, sitting them on the sofa, popping the DVD in, and I watched them as the wonder and the excitement filled their eyes and just the big smiles on their faces. And when the video stopped, I remember asking my oldest, my son, hey, Jonathan, so what are you looking forward to? And he looked at me, he says, Dad, I cannot wait to meet Aladdin and take a picture with him. And I said, that's gonna be so cool, son. And I looked at my daughter and I said, Maya, what are you looking forward to? And she says, I can't wait, Daddy, to meet Cinderella and then curtsy and take a picture with her. I'm like, man, that's gonna be so awesome, isn't it? And then I looked at my youngest, Ashley, and I said, baby, what are you looking forward to? And she goes, Daddy, I can't wait to ride the Tower of Terror. And I looked at my wife and I said, that's your child. But each of them had something that they were looking forward to. They had an expectation. What I didn't think about was this is a January, February time frame, and we weren't going to Disney World until like June or July. And so every day they got up and said, Daddy, are we going to Disney World? Daddy, is today the day? Daddy, is today the day? Daddy, is this the day I get to ride Tower of Terror? Every day they got up. Why? Because they had an anticipation and an expectation of what their father had promised them was going to come to pass. Guys, can I tell you this morning, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to our relationship with God, each and every day, we need to get up with an expectation and an anticipation, knowing that God has something good for us. Every day. For a lot of us, we have a good grasp on the fact that he's our Savior. But what we don't realize is that he's also our healer. There is a beautiful story in the Bible. I talk about it often in classes up here, but it's one of my favorite stories because it's chock full of a lot of meat that if we'll clearly understand it, it'll help us in every area of our lives. And it's about a woman with the issue of blood. That's what the title is. We don't know her name. Maybe we'll call her Susie. I don't know. But anyways, this woman, the Bible talks about how she had a situation going on in her life for a number of years. 12 years, it says. And for 12 years, the condition grew worse. It said she spent all of her money trying to get this condition resolved, and nothing got better. You ever been there? Dealing with something, working through something, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and nothing changes? Nothing gets better? But my favorite part in this story is the line where it says, but when she heard about Jesus. Guys, I'm going to tell you, when you hear about Jesus and all that he is, it should cause something to change on the inside of you. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she said within herself, if I can simply get to him, I will be healed. One of the things that I've come to realize is what we know about him, what we believe about him, matters. You see, all of us, most of us, some of us, know him as a Savior, as the one who we've given our life to. He died on the cross so that we might be saved. But what we don't realize, he's also our healer, and that he will heal our bodies, he will heal our minds, he will heal our relationships, and he'll heal all of our lives. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Guys, God doesn't occasionally heal. He's a healer by nature. He's not just a Savior. He's a healer by nature. But the reason we don't see God's healing power in our lives consistently in every area of our lives is because too many of us are living our lives without God. What do I mean by that? For a long time, I was walking with God. He was my Savior, but he was not God of my marriage. He was not God of my finances. Like, I kept certain things away. And we have to give him full access into every aspect of our lives. Understand this, without him, we're fighting a losing battle. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Guys, if we want to live the life that God has planned for us, if we want to live in wholeness physically, mentally, relationally, and in every aspect, we have to have God in every area of our lives. This scripture basically tells us, just like a branch can't grow fruit if it's cut off from the tree, we can't live a fruitful life without God. And so we've got to come up close to the Lord and allow him to heal us. Now, when I'm talking about healing, this is what the scriptures say healing means. It means to restore. It means to repair. It means to make whole, to cure completely. It means a total and complete restoration. So this morning, I want to talk about Jesus the healer and how he'll heal our body, mind, relationships, and our life. But before I get started, your neighbor needs some encouragement. So why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him he still heals today. Now, you said that like you didn't believe it, so we're going to try this again. Look at the other neighbor, because you've already tainted their faith. Look at the other neighbor and tell them he still heals today. He does. He still heals today. You know, I had a guy who came up to me and he asked me, why do you always have the crowd say something? Why do you always have us do this? Here's why. I'm not naive to think that y'all come in here and I just preach so great and you're going to remember everything I said from front to start, from start to finish. I know. But what I do know is if you will come out of here with just one seed, one thing that you remember, it can change your life. I was at a wedding not too long ago, and you know, I'm officiating the wedding. I'm standing there with my Bible, my notes, getting ready to conduct this wedding, and this crew came up, and it was a crew, I just have to say, they were probably 70 and above. All of them had white poofy hair, and lady comes up, and she goes, "Ooh, you're that guy." And I'm like, "What? The Jesus is in the room guy." And I'm like, "What?" She goes, "You're that guy. We live in Cleveland, but we're watching you online, and we remember last year when you taught, you said Jesus was in the room." And I remember my first thought was, "Lady, you're kind of old, and you just now figuring out Jesus is in the room?" But anyways, watching online in Cleveland, Texas, she and all her buddies remember Jesus is in the room. If you don't get anything else out of today, you need to understand that God still heals, and he still heals for you. Amen? Amen. He will heal for you. Now, God will heal our bodies. In Isaiah 53:5, it says this, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we did not value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and we are healed by his wounds. Guys, we need to understand that at the cross, salvation wasn't the only thing that took place. Healing was made available for you and I. Let me paint a different picture for you. The body of the risen Savior was broken, so yours and mine doesn't have to be. That we can receive healing from him, that healing is a finished work. The Bible says that healing is the children's bread, meaning it belongs to everyone who calls him their Lord. And so healing is available to you and I. But just because something is available, just because there's provision, it doesn't mean and doesn't guarantee possession. What do I mean by that? Salvation is available for us all. Every person on this earth. But there's only one way to be saved. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. The choice is there for every living person on this earth, but we have to choose it by faith. Am I right? In the same way, that's how we receive healing. By faith, by trust and belief in God. Now, when I use that word faith, I want to expand it out for you. You have to have a trust in God, meaning, Lord, I trust in what you're saying, and I believe you wholeheartedly. You have to have confidence in God. God, your word said it. I believe that you are the healer and that you are able to heal my body. You have to have a conviction that when the diagnosis comes and they tell you there's nothing else that we can do, and you have this conviction to where you say, you know what? By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. That's what faith is. Trust, belief, assurance, and confidence in God. That's what we have to have. Faith doesn't force God to act. It receives what Christ has already finished. And so he is a healer for our bodies. Not only that, he will heal our mind. Did you know that God gave us all a gift? In 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and soundness of mind. A sound mind. I don't know about you, but I've lived life with depression, with anxiety, with worry, with stress. I've lived life having panic attacks. But when somebody tells me something belongs to me, something's been given to me, I'm going to take it. And God, if you're saying you give me soundness of mind, then what's this mess I'm holding over here? And we have to be willing to embrace the fact that soundness of mind belongs to us. But it takes obedience and humility to be able to live with a sound mind. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love this passage. He says, don't worry about anything. But God, there's no money and the rent's due. Don't worry about anything. But God, the diagnosis is pretty bad. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. Don't worry about anything. But God, my child has lost his mind and he's out there living like vile and crazy. Don't worry about anything. It says, in everything, through prayer and petition. That word petition simply means a heartfelt request that you bring to God, trusting him with the outcome. Guys, we were called to cast our cares on the Lord. I like to say it, cast your care and leave it there. We weren't created to carry it, so don't carry it. If he's given us soundness of mind, embrace soundness of mind. Walk in it. Believe for it. I think about it this way. I love to paint a picture. If we were driving from Conroe to Dallas, we're 3.5-4 hour drive, depending upon how you drive. I would assume most of you use a digital playlist app or something to listen to music on your way when you're in your car at times. Some of you may still use DVDs. Some of y'all still may use cassettes. May the Lord bless you. Whatever it is. If a song comes on that you don't like, and that song plays through, and then loops back and plays through again, and then loops back and plays through again, are you going to keep listening to that for 3.5 hours? No. You're going to fast forward it. You're going to skip it. You're going to change the channel. You're going to take the cassette out and throw it out the window, whatever. Then why do we allow fear and worry and anxiety and all those negative things to loop in our minds? Just like we would change the dial, the radio, the playlist, change those thoughts. Replace negative thoughts with His thoughts. And here's the promise. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him, keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you." Perfect peace. Means peace, peace, double peace. Means the peace that doesn't make any sense. It means the doctor comes to you and says, "Mr. Thompson, there's nothing else that we can do." And you're like, "Hey, I'm good, because I'm in the master's hand." It's peace, peace is this. It's when they come and tell you, "There's no more money. We're going to take your home." And you know what? That's when you say, "My God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That favor surrounds me like a shield. That the Lord is going to protect me in this, and He's going to help me through this." It's the kind of peace that makes no sense, where everybody else around you is like, "Aren't you scared? Aren't you afraid?" And you're like, "No." Why? Because I know who heals me. I know who saves me. I know who provides for me. I know who takes care of me. Peace, peace. But our mind has to be dependent upon Him. Doesn't mean the thoughts won't try to intrude. It means you decide what you're going to dwell on. It's kind of like this. When I go outside and we're cutting the grass or doing something in the lawn, and love bugs start flying all over the place and they land on me, I don't let love bugs stay on me. Love bugs are nasty. I flick them things off. I shake them off. I mean, sometimes y'all would laugh if you had seen me. I've fallen and hit my head on the car before trying to get away from those things because they don't belong on me. They don't belong on they don't belong on this earth, but that's a whole different story. In the same way, when those negative thoughts come our way, don't let them stick. Shake them off. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you have the Word of God on the inside of you. Pastor Allen says it every week, that everybody at the Ark reads Bible 365. Let's not make that just a saying. Let's do it. Because when the Word's on the inside of you, it'll help you. I love it when Pastor Allen says that when the Word of God becomes personal for you, or to you, it becomes powerful for you. Guys, I can't tell you how many times those past thoughts and negative thoughts still try to come my way. But because I've spent time getting the Word of God on the inside of me, I don't let it stick. I replace it with what the Word says. And that's how we help ourselves. That's why we keep our minds focused and dependent upon Him. That's how we get beyond this and maintain a sound mind. In Romans 12:2, it says this: "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Our lives and situations will change when we replace the lies with the truth that's in God's Word. That's how we transform our situation. That's how we transform our lives. So He is a God who will heal our bodies. He's a God who will heal our minds. He's also a God who will heal our relationships. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Do you believe there's nothing too hard for the Lord? There's no relationship problems. There's no relationship challenges that God can't help you through. But what I've found is, in order for God to be able to turn things around, there must be a full surrender and a yieldedness to Him in how he wants to do things. Let me give you four areas I believe God will help us in. If we do it God's way, God talks about forgiveness, he talks about love, he talks about trust, and he talks about peace. Colossians 3:13 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive." God's called us to walk in forgiveness. And this whole idea that I hear a lot now from a lot of different people when it comes to marriages or relationship challenges is, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. That's not the God kind of love. The Bible tells us that when God forgives us, it's like it never happened. He wipes the slate clean. And so you and I should not have a ticker file or a list of all the wrongs done. No, when we forgive, when we walk in forgiveness, we are to release it once and for all. It reminded me of a toy. You know, we grew up and I didn't have a lot of, my parents didn't have a lot of money, and so I got excited about the smallest things. And there was this toy that I had growing up, not much of a toy, but it was something to play with. It wasn't an Etch-a-Sketch, but it was this cardboard thing with a plastic sheet on the front, and you could draw on it, you could write on it, and you could do whatever you wanted on it for hours on end. And then when you got tired, all you had to do was lift up the sheet of plastic and start again. And what you had done before, it was like it never happened. That's forgiveness. We have to walk in forgiveness in every relationship, marital, parental, friendships, employments. We cannot harbor offense and bitterness. God can't work in that, but he can work in forgiveness. God calls us to love. Why? Because love absorbs what resentment multiplies. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins." He says, above all, before anything else, most importantly, this is a priority, Derek, maintain love. Constant love. And so we have to walk in that love. We have to be kind and patient and gentle. Can't take an account of wrongs being done. We have to walk in true love. If you don't know what love is, I tell you, go to 1 Corinthians 13 and you'll learn what love is by digging in there. But we're called to walk in love in every relationship. And then God calls us to trust, but not in people, trust in God for the outcome. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, know him, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." We've got to place our trust in him and in him alone. That's what my wife did for a long time. As we were coming to church, early on in the years, before I was on staff, before I was really heavily involved in the church, I would come here on Sundays. I would come midweek for classes and things and smile in everybody's faces, and I knew the word of God, but I'd go home and I'd be a jerk. I'd be somebody completely different to my wife. The person knows so close to me, I'd treat her worse than I would treat anybody else. But this is what love does. Love doesn't put her trust. My wife didn't put her trust in me. She put her trust in God and said, "God, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. I'm going to stand in constant love." And she went to the Lord. And what I found out in that season of life, I could get away from Gia, but I couldn't get away from God. And the convicting power of God came upon me, and I had to own my stuff. I had to get right with God, which in turn caused me to get right with my wife. And I'm so glad she chose to do it his way. Because in doing his way, not only did she save and help me, but she saved our marriage as well. And so we want to walk in forgiveness. We want to walk in love. We want to trust our God. And then we want to be a peacemaker. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Healing doesn't come when everyone apologizes. It comes when someone obeys. So always pursue peace. God, we don't want to do it our way. We want to do it God's way. Does that make sense? Be willing to do it His way. So He heals our bodies. He heals our minds. He heals our relationships. And finally, if we allow Him to, He will heal our life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." Guys, you need to understand, He calls us a new creation. He didn't call us a repaired creation. He didn't call us a rehabilitated creation. He says we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is today. And so when we say yes, our new identity replaces our past. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name." We are adopted into a family. We are embraced by a God who heals. He will heal our life if we surrender it completely and totally to Him. Now, the other day, I ran into a guy who's known the Lord. He's gotten off and gotten away, and he was telling me how he was struggling getting back to the Lord because of everything that he had done, everything that he was involved in. And guys, can I tell you? There's no perfect person in the church. Like, newsflash, none of y'all are perfect. No one, not one of us is perfect. And when God sent His Son to die on a cross, He knew we were a hot mess. And He did it anyways. And so we have to always remember the scripture in Romans 8, where it says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." If God doesn't condemn you, why do you condemn you? The Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. If you make a mistake, if you fall down, if you get out of the way, get back up. Dust yourself off. Ask for forgiveness. But don't walk away from the Lord. Allow Him to keep, to heal your life. Allow Him to be Lord of your life in every area from this day forward. Now, I go back to that Disney trip because I remember before we went, because it took me a lot for me to get all the money together, to do all the planning. And I remember sitting my family down saying, "Look, it took a lot for us to get to this place. This is going to be the trip of a lifetime, but we don't have any extra money. So don't be asking for no souvenirs, no extra food. Like, we are going to be strategic and plan this bad boy out. I just want to make sure I'm clear." I said, "You can smile at Mickey all day long. You can take pictures, but don't ask for nothing else." And they were all like, "Yes, sir, yes, sir." And it was great. And for 6 days, we did that. Everything worked out fine. On day 7, we were sitting in the cafeteria for breakfast. And I'll never forget this. We're sitting there, and I started eavesdropping on the couple behind us, and I heard that they had purchased the same package that I had purchased. And I turned around, and I said, "Excuse me, did I hear right? Did you purchase this package?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Did you say that with the package, each day you were allotted 3 meals per person in your family, 2 souvenirs per day?" They said, "Yes." I said, "So you mean to tell me every day all of this was paid, provided in the package?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "Thank you." And I walked over and I found somebody who worked at Disney. I said, "Excuse me, I purchased this package, and it says that these items are available to me during the duration of my stay. Is that correct?" She said, "Yes." I said, "What happens if I didn't spend my stuff on Monday, and here we are Friday? Can I still use them?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." She goes, "All of this is available to you for the entirety of your stay. You can use them at any time." I said, "That's all I needed to know." I walked over. I looked at my wife and kids. I gave them all the vouchers. I said, "There's a lot more that's available to us. Knock yourself out. Go crazy." And they started running, and they went in stores. They got candy. They got souvenirs. My son went crazy. He had pancakes and bacon, and it was all this food piled up. We took advantage of everything that was available to us. Why? Because it had been paid for. Guys, can I tell you? The healing of your body, the healing of your mind, the healing of your relationships, and the healing of your life has been paid for. So don't leave it behind. Take advantage of it. God wants to do so much for you and so much in you, but you have to be willing to surrender and receive what he has for you. He's a good God. And I believe our best days are ahead of us. And if we will simply open ourselves up to him and invite him into every area of our lives, a healing will come. Will you bow your heads this morning? This morning, you may be here today and you may not know of the God I'm talking about, that all of this is new to you, that this is the first time you've heard that he is a God who saves and heals. And you say, Derek, I want to get to know who that God is for myself. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I've gotten off the path, I've fallen down, I've done some things, but I feel like today is a day I want to get back in right standing with God. If that's you today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, one, I want to get to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior for the first time, or I want to come back to him. I'm going to ask you, as an act of faith, no one's watching, it's just you and God, as an act of faith, if you'll just simply raise your hand and say, that's me, that today I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, today I want to receive him and allow him to heal my life. Okay, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See them all over the auditorium. You can put those down. And now we're going to do what we do every week as a church family. We're going to say a prayer. And you may be watching online and you might be all alone, but you're not alone because Jesus is in the room. And so let's say this prayer together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child who just made that declaration for the first time or to come back to you. Lord, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are now their Lord, that they give you their life, and that you're going to do great and mighty things in them and through them in the days ahead. Father, I ask you to bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.